So the strict meaning of modesty and a limited meaning which is connecting this virtue to the external modes of dress and behavior. I want to speak of one negative and three positive elements about this virtue. And taken from this, this is a compilation, this little issues, number 20, compilation. The negative thing is this. There's two aspects to Christian modesty, one negative and three positive. First thing to a negative means to avoid. We must so dress and deport ourselves as to avoid being an occasion of sin to anyone. That's negative. But it's also very common. And it's common for some in the traditional Catholic community to dress modestly at church and outside in the streets to be occasions of sin to other people. Positively speaking, there are three aspects of it, where modesty inspires a deep love for the virtue of chastity, which is intimately connected with holy family, marriages and family life, and hence building blocks of holy society. So in its connection to chastity, it's the fence, it's the gate of the garden of chastity and purity. And so it's the great protection. If we break down modesty, chastity goes. And with chastity going, families break up. Men become barbarians, women become slaves of men and of the devil and of passions, and everything breaks down, which Christian civilization has built up. Secondly, on the second positive part, modesty is meant to enhance the dignity of the body. And as we'll see, there's a special dignity belonging to the tender gender, the female body. And also is meant to be, thirdly, a symbol of our state in life, how we dress and behave. So the soldier dresses and behaves very differently to the lawyer, the barman from the taxi driver. But the clothes and the bearing have some aspect in indicating where you are in the social strata. And that's also important for community common life. So St. Paul and St. Peter both speak about modesty of dress. St. Paul says to Timothy, women should appear in decent apparel, adorning themselves with modesty and sobriety. And St. Peter talks about their hair and their jewelry and things like that, painting themselves. Beware. St. Peter, the apostle. St. Paul speaks in the First Corinthians chapter 11 about women when they pray, and he means in public common prayer, you cover your heads when you come together in the Mass, in the community of the Mass. Cover your heads, women. Why? It's because of reverence on account of the angels. How does covering one's head bring reverence to the angels? Well, you know we cover the tabernacle. And the ciborium that has the body of Christ is covered. It's veiled. Why? Because the veil indicates there's a great mystery there. In fact, the very source of life, supernatural life. That's why the veil is covering the tabernacle and the chalice. Women have something very special about them. Their body is capable of being the source, the bearer of life. Natural life, yes, but with a view to the supernatural life. So reverence then for this life-giving capacity of every woman. Her head should be covered in prayer, but her whole body should be veiled in general, because that brings her greater reverence and dignity. It elevates men. It helps the angels to reverence and protect the women even more. There's some interesting quotes here from Cardinal Siri and Pope Pius XII, which I'll get to. Pius XII points out that regarding clothing, modesty especially requires two things. One, don't make purity more difficult for men. And secondly, a prudent but firm and courageous resistance to the styles and customs, no matter how popular or widespread or adopted by others, which are a danger to purity. We have to emphasize in the strongest language and remind people and remind ourselves what Christ himself said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:28. Impure thoughts and desires freely indulged in are serious sins. And so to invite such impure thoughts and desires through one's dress, you cannot help but participate in the grave sin of scandal and cooperation. And there's a famous sermon of St. John Chrysostom, father and doctor of the church, who says, who do the courts of law put in jail or punish more? The one who drinks the poison or the one who offers the poison for someone else to drink? And so that is an example then of the danger. And yet today the sense of sin and modesty and decency has disappeared, except in pockets of traditional Catholic circles and sometimes among others, the LDS people. If you want decent dresses that conform to the genuine Christian standards of modesty, you sometimes have to go to the so-called Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, or the Amish, or they go to a bit of an extreme, I think. You don't have to be singular. It's one thing to be slave to the fashions, another thing to be pridefully singular. So you should take the best of the fashions, but sometimes very hard to find modest dresses and almost impossible to find modest swimsuits. Some Orthodox Jewish communities and the LDS, they have some good things available. Our Lady warned us in 1919, actually, she told Blessed Jacinta Mato that fashions will be introduced which will offend our Lord very much, and those who serve God should not follow these fashions. The church has no fashions. Our Lord is always the same. Which you heard in the epistle today, not a shadow of alteration in God. And our sacred liturgy reflects that. Pius XII, he said 50 years ago, how many young girls there are who do not see any wrongdoing in following certain shameless styles like so many sheep. They would certainly blush if they could guess the impression they make and the feelings that they evoke in those who see them. That was over 50 years ago. Catholic ladies, it's very simple. You come to Mass in your Sunday best, men and women. The only thing different with women is you cover your head as well at Mass. But even outside, it's more difficult for the ladies. I sympathize with you. Hard to find. But the one principle is this. The more you cover the flesh, the better. Do not, in general, expose the knees or the shoulders. And simple principle, the more the skin, the more the sin that you are provoking in others. It's very simple. Very simple. But not just the exposing of the flesh, but also the tight form-fitting clothes that sometimes they have to peel off like a glove. No, it's exposing men to temptation. Now, I'm not saying, and it's not to be understood, that it's always a mortal sin for women to wear pants or trousers. No. But if they're deliberately chosen to be tight-fitting, to provoke others, then yes, it can be a mortal sin. So, but even fashionable and feminine pants and trousers, Cardinal Siri gave a very good article how even that tends to change the mentality of the woman to be defeminized, to be more masculinized, and then she slowly loses the respect that is given to really feminine women. And you notice it. A woman who wears a dress in public, the men open the doors for them, the men show greater respect, and the more she's looking and acting like a man, including vulgar or common language as well as behaviors, the more she's disrespected, disregarded, and then it's a spiral downhill. Saint Padre Pio in the 1960s That's when the fashion started getting really bad. The tops went down, the skirts went up, and he would frequently send them away from the confessional without hearing their confession. He sent so many people away, so many women away from the confessional. Some had traveled the other side of the world to go to confession. He would send them away. And the fellow friars then posted a sign on his confessional door: by Padre Pio's explicit wish, women who enter the confessional wearing skirts must be at least 8 inches below the knee. And if they came in having borrowed a skirt that was that long, he would still throw them out of the confessional unless they were committed to burning their wardrobes of shorter skirts. And his fellow priest said, why are you treating these people in such a manner? This is singular. This is outrageous. The people are very distressed. Other priests don't do this. Padre Pio said, don't you know what pain it costs me to shut the door on anyone? The Lord has forced me to do so. I do not call anyone. I do not refuse them. There is someone else who calls and refuses them. I am his useless tool. Mothers and fathers, get it into your minds and hearts that you are responsible for your daughters under 18, what they buy, what they wear. And you will share the responsibility if they lead others into sin. We also have to remember to dress in a manner that is proper to our Christian dignity. The long-term effects of this homogenization in society of the different sexes and all the social strata all homogenized is very destructive to the dignity of Christian society. We should be the healthy yeast in society, and especially to please God. Traditional forms of dress really help build up society and encourage men to greater respect, and really all women have been exalted by the Christian standards of modesty, with the Blessed Virgin Mary as the ideal. The book of Deuteronomy says in chapter 22, verse 5, a woman shall not be clothed with a man's dress, apparel. Neither shall a man use a woman's apparel. For he that does these things is abominable before God. And St. Teresa of Avila says, quite shocking quote, in the fifth chapter of her life, women are more bound than men to practice chastity. Why? Because the consequences are worse for the unchaste woman. Hence, a woman who doesn't practice chastity she loses all sense of shame and she cannot be trusted in anything. St. Teresa of Avila, Doctor of the Church, chapter 5 of her life. And so any man or woman who goes along with the modern trends of homogenizing, speaking of in terms of equality of marriage, you know, or diversity to encourage, for instance, the Boy Scouts to allow indiscriminate mixing, they are shameless and cannot be trusted in anything. It's devastating to society. It's actually the suicide of society to allow, under the name of human rights. Thankfully, again, over 1 million people marched in Paris against the government insistence on this so-called marriage legislation. People are reacting. But it's the immodesty of dress that has led to the breakdown of all chastity and hence of families and society. And so you have the solution in your hands. There's a lot more that could be said. I just want to finalize with the great writer G.K. Chesterton, speaking of what a frightful privilege it is to be a woman. He says the female body is in a certain sense more sacred than the male body because of her body is capable of bringing to life a new human person created in the image and likeness of God and infused with an immortal soul that will last for all eternity. Dresses that drape over the woman's form veil in mystery and dignity the intimate center where new human life comes forth into the world. It is a great privilege to be a woman and to show forth the difference. Long vive la différence, they say. Long live the difference. So pray to Our Lady to help us understand and really put into practice this beautiful virtue of modesty, which is so appealing and attractive to the angels and to good men everywhere. Vanity, self-love, lust, leading people to look at one in the wrong way, it degrades people, enslaves them. Whereas modesty, women, you can change the world. Men, if you look at your wives and daughters, encouraging them in their modest clothing and discouraging, showing disapproval for what is not fitting to these standards, you do well to help build up Catholic civilization. So pray to the Queen of Heaven that we might understand these things, put it into practice, and especially in the month of May, not just at Mass, but everywhere in different places and different ways, we must practice this virtue of modesty. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.